Welcome to another Gaming Gay Extra. This is Elliot, and today I'm speaking with Jeff Quick, the project lead for Thunderstone Advance, the new chromed out version of Thunderstone from AEG. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Elliot. I am so glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad that you're here too. How did you get involved with Thunderstone Advance in the first place?
Well, so like many people, I had played and enjoyed Thunderstone before coming to work for AEG. Mm-hmm. And I knew Ed Bolme at AEG when we used to work together at Wizards of the Coast and a startup that we worked together on for about 3 months before the whole thing fell apart. And so they needed somebody to come in and shepherd Thunderstone, somebody with sort of some role-playing game background. And since I worked on third edition Dungeons & Dragons, I did a lot of editing on third edition.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. You know they're working on fifth now.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm a dinosaur. I knew the game. I've got sort of a design background. I know role-playing, and I know sort of the themes and the setting. And so they said, Jeff, you sound like the guy we need. Why don't you come work on Thunderstone? And I basically couldn't get out of my previous job fast enough. It's just what I want to be doing.
Nice. Well, so today is the official release day for Thunderstone Advance.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not guaranteeing that I'm going to have this up on the website today, but but when we're recording it, it is officially Monday.
Everyone, just think back to what Monday was like.
Right. So last week was a big pre-release event. How did that go?
It went really well. We had a whole bunch of stores around the United States, and I think a couple in England participating. I went to two here in the Philadelphia region and just played the game and met some new people. And the enthusiasm was really high. When we first started leaking information about Thunderstone Advance back in January, there was a whole lot of, I don't know if I do this, am I changing? I can't remember. Right? And my very first post was, I revealed some of the biggest changes in the game, which was the changes with your starting hand, your basic deck.
Right.
And people were a little freaked out by the change. But everyone who has played it, who has put hands on it, who has experienced it, has universally said, oh, this is a better game. And new people find it very easy to get into. We were even thoughtful enough to include a beginner's little booklet in the box. So if you buy it and you've never played before, there's sort of a little starter page to tell you how to get going. Mm-hmm. The rules, we rewrote them. one thing people have had trouble with in the past was sort of how dense the rules were. And so we have much clearer, plainer, straighter rules. And people say, oh, they can read them and play the game. Isn't that exciting? So it's still Thunderstone, right? But it's really smoothed out and, as you say, chromed up for a better play experience.
Uh-huh. What made AEG decide to put together Thunderstone Advance in the first place?
Well, the game was going really well. People are liking it. And it's become one of our sort of staple games. It was clear that we needed to do something with the game so that it wasn't just, oh, here's some more cards. You know, like games that are popular and keep going sort of eventually have that wall that you need to get over, where I can't just sell you another box of cards. You already have 2,000. Is the game
right?
Is the game going to be made appreciably better? And so Thunderstone Advance was an attempt to sort of reset a base starting place. And we've got some really cool things that we're going to do with the game that are more than just, hey, here's some more cards, everybody. Of course, Thunderstone, the next set, here, I'll give you a little spoiler. I think we're going to call it Caverns of Bane.
Nice.
That will be coming out in June, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's at the printer right now, actually.
Oh, sweet.
And then after that, we've got things that I won't tell you about that I'm really excited by. One thing, okay, I'll tell you about this. One little thing that I believe we're gonna start doing next week is we're gonna start producing little modules, what we're calling modules, that are just a different way to play Thunderstone using the same basic game. And so, for instance, there might be wandering monsters outside the dungeon, or you might have a ninth village card you know, outside the regular village that has some special little effects. And so each one is just a little add-on to make the game play a little differently and to keep you interested and keep you coming back, and so that it's not just, you know, your 400th game of Thunderstone.
Huh. You know, I have noticed that you guys have put a lot of effort into putting in more story and more theme into Thunderstone Advance. I especially like the scenarios. I thought those were really cool.
There'll be more of that stuff coming up. Yeah.
For the benefit of our listeners who have not played Thunderstone Advance yet, can you tell me some of the big differences between Thunderstone and Thunderstone Advance?
Sure. The biggest, most noticeable difference, like I talked about before, is the new basic deck. So it used to be that you had militia and torches and food and I've already forgotten what the fourth thing was. The dagger.
Right.
We switched a lot of that out. Now we've sort of upgraded from militias to these guys we call regulars, who are a lot like militia, except that when they're holding a polearm, they get to draw a card in the dungeon. And it just so happens that instead of daggers now, we have long spears. So your starting deck sort of has a little synergy right away. You can go to the dungeon on the first turn, right? If your cards come up right, because you might get the cards you need to kill something simple. Mm-hmm. Well, also instead of food now, we've put in Thunderstone shards. So the way the story that you mentioned is that at the end of Heart of Doom, Doom, the great villain, everyone had gathered all the Thunderstones that held his power. They summoned him and then you tried to use his power against him to kill him. What they didn't realize was that, oops, they didn't actually kill him. They just kicked him out of the world, and they kicked him into another world. And the great swirling vortex of power that carried Doom away also took a bunch of the heroes away with them. So they're all waking up on this new world and realize that they've just accidentally, you know, they've brought smallpox blankets with them. So they feel responsible to go help people in this new world who know nothing of Doom and are suddenly accosted by his evil. All that to say, there's the story. All that to say that one thing you bring along with you are Thunderstone shards. So the shards that Doom had made to hold his power are all broken and cracked and beat up, and you have a little bit of them. They're still pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. And so those have taken the place of food in that they give you strength, but they also give you an experience point bonus when you win a fight. Mm-hmm. One sort of gameplay difference that we really worked with in Thunderstone Advance was more experience. You will find yourself when you play getting more experience faster. And you'll find yourself leveling up heroes a little sooner, using them in other fun ways. And what that all means is that the game is accelerated a little bit. You'll spend fewer turns going to the village because you can't kill anything in the dungeon. Right. So you might go to the dungeon early because you have these good starting cards, and you'll certainly get to the dungeon sooner because you'll have leveled up your heroes sooner.
One of my favorite things about it is the new board, the new double-sided board.
Yeah, it's pretty rocking. People have been asking for that, and it just seemed like a natural progression. We didn't just create a board, though. We also sort of worked a system into the board to help reduce goofy setups. So if you haven't seen it, in the past, you would just deal out 8 village randomizers and hope you didn't get really screwed, right? If you got, you know, 6 spells and a villager and a weapon, and then all fighters, right? It was sort of, that could be an oddball thing. So the board comes with sort of slots, so that when you fill all the slots of, say, the villagers, there's only 3 villager slots. So if you're flipping over randomizers, once you've put in 3 villagers, you're done. And it sort of maximizes each area of the village so that you get a better mix of cards throughout the village.
Yeah, and it definitely decreases the amount of weird setups that you can have. Plus, the experience point cards have been replaced, which is nice.
Yeah, that was something that we did in Dragonspire, and it went over so well that we did it again. So instead of experience point cards, which were sort of easy to get confused and mixed up with your deck, there are these little Thunderstone-shaped plastic tokens that serve as experience points. We also changed the iconography on the cards a little bit so that in the lower left corner of a card, when it talks about how much experience you get for killing a monster, it's in the shape of a Thunderstone. And then the little tokens are Thunderstones too, so it provides that really visual and sort of tactile cue to, oh, okay, this is what I'm supposed to get. Got it.
And I do like the way you've kind of streamlined the card. So now actually the artwork's a little bigger. It looks, I don't know, prettier?
I'll take that. Yes, the judges will accept prettier. Why not make it better when you have a chance? Mm-hmm. Another big thing that we wanted to do was use color a little more. And so different cards are color-coded now. The icons that were on before weren't always visible or understandable. If you look closely at old Thunderstone cards, there's a whole lot of information packed on there that a lot of people don't even know is on there. And we wanted to sort of make those more explicit. Like, a lot of people didn't know that first, second, and third level heroes had slightly different color borders, like bronze, silver, and gold, to sort of indicate they were going up in level. Uh-huh. And so this time we were just like, look, let's just write it on the card. let's make our visual cues big and obvious and just write things when we can. So now hero levels are level 1, level 2, level 3, and it's just written there.
Tell me something about the Doom Bearers. Is that what they're called?
The Thunderstone Bearers, yes.
Yes, and Thunderstone Bearers.
Yes, excellent question. Thank you, Elliot. Another one of our little innovations was moving from having the Thunderstone itself be the game ender to having a boss monster be the game ender. In the original design of the game, the idea was that the Thunderstone would come out, and the person who killed the monster in front of the Thunderstone also got the Thunderstone as sort of an extra claimer. Or if the Thunderstone got to the front rank, then nobody got it. And that was sort of an interesting sort of jockeying at the end of the game. But it also led to this sort of tense, who's going to eat the last slice of pizza, kind of everybody staring at each other. And sometimes it led to sort of stalemates instead of interesting play. And so what we did was we just put the Thunderstone on a guy. And so we sort of combined Guardians, which were sort of big boss creatures in previous games, mm-hmm. with Thunderstones to make them Thunderstone Bearers. So now these guys come up toward the bottom of the deck like Thunderstones used to do, only it's a big monster you gotta fight. And it operates under some of the same rules. Like if this Thunderstone Bearer gets to the front rank without anybody killing him, then he escapes, he gets out, nobody wins. Nobody wins that prize. But mm-hmm. if you can kill the Thunderstone Bearer, then that ends the game, and it serves sort of the same purpose, but without the nervous, you know, taking village actions, trying to just time it right.
Right, right. Well, I'm all for the having the big boss. Along the lines of, oh, say, Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Supernatural, it's always good to have a big boss that you're building towards at the end of a game or a season or a scenario. So I kind of like it much more than looking for, you know, just a big rock.
right. A magic floating rock.
Right. So now what about the curses and the familiars?
We liked diseases in the previous game. Diseases were things that made your life a little harder. They give you penalties to fight. But we wanted to sort of advance that idea as well. And so we came up with curses. And a curse is much like a disease in that, in fact, they're both typed the same so that it can be backward compatible. Like any old mm-hmm. cleric that can remove diseases can also remove curses. Mm-hmm. But it still gives you a combat penalty, but it comes with a built-in method of discarding it. So if you're willing to take a little bit of a hit, then you can get rid of it in the course of normal play. And so we find that leads to a little more interesting strategy to think, well, okay, so can I do with two fewer gold and still get done what I want to do? Or, you know, can I take the light hit in order to get rid of this curse so that I don't take the combat hit? It provides an extra interesting level of figuring.
Yeah.
As far as familiars, that is one of the things that you can do with experience points that we think is oh so clever. So familiars are your little buddies that come out when you defeat a monster. You get a familiar, and he has some powers. It's like a seventh card to your hand. They just stay out, and they give you abilities based on how much experience you have. So if you store up 6 experience, you can spend them activating this familiar who can give you a bonus in combat or some little ability in the village. When you've got that big pile of experience because you get into the dungeon sooner and kill more monsters, you now have something to do with it.
Yes, and that's actually a pretty nice touch because you would end up sometimes with a big pile of experience points and you're like, well, you know.
Right, right. So, and you don't actually have to spend it. You just have to have it. So it isn't like you're like, I blow 6 experience points powering my familiar. It's just, you know, the more experience you have, the more power your familiar has. Mm-hmm. So you still have it to spend. But now you think, well, should I level up my hero? Or should I save this in reserve in case I need this little boost in my next fight?
There's so many little things, too, like changing the darkness to light and
light
to darkness.
I have my own little essay on that. But basically, I think darkness makes you, or what we used to call light penalty,
right?
That it makes you do about 4 logical backflips in a row. And
right.
you know what I'm saying, right? And so... And after a while, you get used to doing 4 logical backflips, and it's not a problem. We thought, what if we make them do fewer backflips? And so the first one, this is really simple, is just change the word light penalty to darkness. Because it was sort of confusing that you would bring light to a dungeon to counteract a light penalty. How would that work? So, but if we call it darkness, then it sort of makes sense. Oh, torches fight darkness. Got it.
It's funny because you don't walk outside and go, oh my gosh, there's a big light penalty outside.
we came up with a different, the board is two-sided. And so in addition to the traditional, we experimented with all kinds of different dungeon setups, like with a 5-rank dungeon and with different sort of darkness penalties. But ultimately we settled on keeping the classic dungeon, where there's 3 ranks and each rank gives you a -2 penalty because of darkness. But then the other side is what we call the wilderness, and it's 4 ranks and each rank gives you a -1 penalty because you're outside, you know, it's a little lighter, but there's still sort of a Stygian gloom to the wilderness that you have to overcome with light. What we found is that teaching the game and learning the game goes a lot quicker and easier on the wilderness side. Mm-hmm. People can sort of quickly grasp, oh, okay, darkness makes it 1 harder. And then once they've got that down, the game is actually sort of wired to work so that light gives you sort of this conditional +2, right? That's how the game was designed, right, and how it works best. And so we wanted to keep that because light is just less useful when it's only equivalent to a +1. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know, because why have a special +1 when you could just have a regular +1, right?
Right.
For good gameplay, for good strategy, light is still pretty cool if it counteracts a -2 penalty. But also, when you're just trying to figure out 50 million other things about the game, you'd probably rather not have to remember that 2 = 1 under certain circumstances. So the wilderness is there for you. You can just go adventuring out in the dark forest.
I do like it. It's got the extra slot there. It sometimes comes in handy.
Yeah.
Have that one extra opportunity.
Right, right.
I know you mentioned it was going to be Caverns of Bane?
Yes, Caverns of Bane is the next expansion.
Is that just about all you can tell me about Caverns of Bane?
You know, that's probably all I should tell you right now. It advances the story a little bit. There are new monsters, new village, sort of reveals some secrets of what's up ahead.
So you really are pushing towards a whole storyline here.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I know it was loosely in original Thunderstone. It had a beginning and a middle and a conclusion, but I feel it more in this version, which is nice.
Yes.
You know?
We had a beginning and a middle and a conclusion mapped out from the beginning. Like when I came on board, they sort of said, okay, here's the story document, right? And so there are characters, things progress, and
oh my gosh, it's just like Lost. Because we're in the final, you buy the final game and you find out everybody's been in purgatory the whole time.
That's right. That's right. The final game will actually be played in a church for some reason.
Right. How did you guys get the title Towers of Ruin?
So the setting of the game is set in 3 towers. The story is that there are these 3 towers occupied by Thunderstone Bearers in the Badlands just south of the Kingdom of Caladron. And the sort of the idea of ruin and corruption is one that sort of carries throughout this cycle. And so it was a strong visual of these three foreboding towers looming sort of on the horizon with, smoke and fire and monsters all around, and they were going to bring ruin to your land. That's very unsubtle meaning of that.
And plus, well, the three scenarios are all
Just so happens.
different towers. The game is coming out today. I haven't heard any negative reports yet. I reviewed it. I gave it a really good review because I liked it a lot.
Good, glad to hear that. Good.
Kids have all enjoyed it. Even my, it's funny, my wife found it easier to play than the original Thunderstone. So that's saying a lot. She
That's fantastic.
does play games, but sometimes I gotta, really push her to play something. And she's, we played Thunderstone in the past. You're like, yeah, like, oh, well, this is easier. Like, so you guys are doing something right.
The past Thunderstone, and by the way, I really enjoyed this about Thunderstone. It had this very heavy metal album cover kind of feel to it. And in fact, the text on some of the Thunderstones was, I believe, taken from like Judas Priest songs or something like that.
Really? I didn't
I
know
think
that.
so. I might have the wrong band, but it was very metal, and it's sort of, if you look at the cards, it kind of feels like, yeah, okay, all right, sure. But we wanted to sort of go to a different world, right? And so the cards look different, and they play a little differently, and we feel like that sort of gameplay helps match up with where the story is going. So I'm glad to hear that your wife thinks a little better of the game. That's good. That's according to plan.
There we go. I can't think of anything else. Would you like, you got anything else you'd like to add?
I do.
All right.
So when you go run out and purchase your copy of Thunderstone Advance at your friendly local game store or online retailer, you will see toward the back that we discuss some promo cards, we call them avatars, that are
Ah,
conspicuously not
yes.
included in the box.
Right.
What we're doing is we used those as tchotchkes, as gimmies, for our pre-release event last week. So everyone who bought one last week got a free copy. Thank you to everyone who did. Now we are putting them on sale in our online store, and this is there's still some floating around in the distributor channel somewhere, and distributors might offer them to retailers. You can probably get them some other places, but the place you can for sure get them is at Alderac's online store, store.alderac.com. Avatars are cards that sort of represent you, the champion, the adventurer, and they give you an extra little power to play with. It's a lot of fun. We are getting the message loud and clear that board gamers don't really care for promotional material that they have to chase down. So we're putting these cards on sale. There's plenty of them. We're not going to run out, and there's one place to get them. So they should be up on our online store next week.
Excellent. That sounds great. I have seen the Avatar cards and they are pretty cool. There's what, five of each?
Yeah, right. So
One
there's
for
one
each
for each
player.
class. You can choose at the beginning of the game which class you want to play.
And us board gamers, we like the promo things, but we like once they've been promoted, we love being able to just go and get them. So we have everything completely. We don't like the ones that disappear forever.
We've discussed that, and it took us a while to figure this out, right? But we finally figured out that our big game is Legend of the Five Rings, right? And our background, our history is as a collectible card game company. And collectible card gamers, they don't mind chasing, right? They don't mind rares and variants and things like that. Board gamers, they just want to have it. don't they just want the whole game. And so the message I would like to get across is we hear you and we're working to respond to the things that we see and hear from our fans. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for caring and for responding and playing.
Okay. Well, Jeff, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
Thanks for inviting me. Had a great time.
Excellent. And good luck with Thunderstone Advance.
All right. Thanks so much.
Well, there you have it. That was Jeff Quick, project lead for Thunderstone Advance for Alderac Entertainment Group. We'd like to thank Jeff for taking the time to make his appearance on the show. You can find out more about Thunderstone Advance and all of AEG's products at www.alderac.com. The Gaming Gang will continue to bring you extras and exclusives, and don't forget to stay tuned for our next regularly scheduled podcast. Thanks.